it was okay that I didn't always orgasm during penetration, but I had to figure out, and I did figure out with my hands and with toys to figure out what felt good. So I was about 25, but it was a process. I want people to know it's not like you just one day figure it out, this is how I do it, and it's always like that from ever on. It's different positions, different times of day, different times of month. There's just always a lot to figure out, but I would say I started taking it seriously when I was 25 and then really much more in my 30s. That was like my full-time job. You're listening to Sex with Emily. I'm Dr. Emily, and I'm here to help you prioritize your pleasure and liberate the conversation around sex. So today's episode is part two of Sex and Emily. This week, I spent the episode answering all the questions you submitted about my sex life, my sexual history, and I answered them. From my threesome experiences to the question, have I joined the Mile High Club? The age I took control of my orgasm, some more about my favorite positions, and just stuff I really hadn't thought about or shared in a long time. So have a listen and let me know. Is this kind of episode something you want more of? Because, you know, if it helps you, it helps me. And also, I want to thank everyone who came out to my live shows in San Diego and Phoenix the last few weeks. It was a dream to do these shows at comedy clubs, meet you all in person, and really do a live show that was equal parts sex education, answering your questions, and many, many laughs. So if you want me to speak in your area or you want to attend the next one, you can email me feedback@sexwithemily.com or just be sure to join our mailing list and you will know everything. And people do love our emails. Please rate and review Sex with Emily wherever you listen to the show. It really helps us get the show out to more people. And it just takes you 2 seconds. You can do it right now. My new articles, 6 embarrassing sex questions you're afraid to ask, but you did anyway, and how to hand play like a pro are available at sexwithemily.com. All right, everyone, enjoy this episode. Summer is definitely the sexiest season. I mean, think about it. The days are longer, the nights are hotter, and your sex life is too. And if you're looking to turn up the heat, how about a little help from our friends at Promescent? Summer is all about things hot and steamy, so I highly recommend you add something extra and tap into Promescent's lineup of pleasure-enhancing products. I've been singing their praises for years since they started, and for good reason. Because first up, we have the legendary Delay Spray. This is the MVP of lasting longer and keeping those eager penile nerves in check. You just do a quick spray, and you're set to outlast even the longest days of summer, ensuring the party doesn't end before you want it to. So you can have the mind-blowing climax you're now so very well equipped to reach, thanks to Promescent. It just helps you last longer without all the worry. And for women, Promescent's warming arousal gel is a fun pre-sex ritual. You just rub it into your vulva a few minutes before and you'll feel it start to tingle, warming up every nerve ending. So you'll feel that much more pleasure everywhere before you even get going. So it's kind of like the sure thing. So make sure this summer is the sexiest one yet. Check out promescent.com/Emily and get 15% off at checkout. You get free shipping, 60-day money-back guarantee, discreet shipping, all the things. Promescent is your ticket to a more guaranteed good time. That's promescent.com/Emily. promescent.com/Emily for your exclusive discount. Check it out. Attention, pleasure seekers. What if I told you there was a toy that was so iconic that it practically set the standard for all my favorite products? Allow me to introduce or reintroduce to you the Magic Wand. Dubbed the Cadillac of Vibrators, the Magic Wand is more than just a toy. It's a culture icon, a symbol of power and unapologetic pleasure. Do you know any other toys that have been praised in Time magazine? Didn't think so. With a unique rumble that resonates deep within, the Magic Wand Original is not just a product, it's a trusted confidant. And it's a sure thing. Never had an orgasm? Try a Magic Wand. Never given your party a full body massage? Try the Magic Wand. Listen, it's rightfully earned accolades like Vibrator of the Year for decades, and I've been obsessed with my Magic Wand. I even drilled holes in my bedside table so that she's always next to me in case I need her. Well, that was years ago, because now there are multiple iterations of the Magic Wand, allowing you to pick whatever model fits your lifestyle. You can go wireless with the Magic Wand Rechargeable, tiny with the Magic Wand Mini or Micro. Micro is really mini. Or go for variety with the Magic Wand Plush. The best part though, all of them have the same powerful orgasmic rumble that made the original so popular. So if you're ready to make some magic, visit sexwithemily.com/magicwand and discover why the Magic Wand continues to cast a spell on the world. Magic Wand, not just a vibrator, an icon of pleasure. Okay, you asked for it, so my team made sure I delivered. Here is part two of Sex and Emily, where I get asked all the tough and often really fun questions. My dear friend Falgani Adams, executive producer at Vice TV, shares all of your questions with me, and I share all. And don't forget to listen to part one of this episode, where I get more into my sexual experiences through the decades and also share my best tips I learned along the way. You can find Sex and Emily part one linked in the show notes and wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Okay, ready for some listener questions?
Yes.
What's your favorite position to cuddle in?
Little spoon, again.
You like being a little spoon?
I love it. I like it.
Are you ever a big spoon? Chest.
Sometimes, yeah. I like being a big spoon too. Yeah, I do. It's not my favorite, but I like it. I like it. It's actually fun every once in a while. I'll be like, oh.
Yeah. I like the audible. Have you ever had a threesome, pros and cons?
Yes, I have had a threesome. I think the pros of threesomes are you had a threesome. Check it off the list. For me, my best threesomes were when I was not committed to somebody. I was dating somebody. Maybe they were dating somebody else. And so we all got together and there wasn't a lot of like emotion, heightened emotions around it. And also, I think the best is when it's more spontaneous, like you weren't planning it for weeks. And should we have a threesome? It just sort of happened. Not in the moment, but meaning like we planned it like a week or so. He's like, oh, would you want to meet this girl I'm dating? And it was a casual, easy experience that was really, really nice.
Did you need to be like drunk or?
No.
That's what I hear a lot of people.
That's the best thing. I mean, some people are drunk and high. But then I think, you know, we have to remember this. When we use alcohol and drugs to numb ourselves during sex, it's because a lot of times we are so afraid. A lot of people, I can't have sex unless I drink. And it's because we use alcohol early on to help get over our worries. And it does help lower your inhibitions. So you can be present and show up sexually. But then after a while, it just numbs you and you can't feel things. And so no, I mean, maybe a drink or maybe a little something, but it's moderation for sure.
This isn't a listener question, but on the tails of that question about a threesome, you know, I've had people ask me like, you know, am I a lesbian now that I liked a threesome with another woman?
All right. I don't think that the people you have sex with or what you do necessarily have to define your, or have had or who you're attracted to. You don't have to label yourself. I've been with women. If you want to call me lesbian, I don't get hung up on it. I'm like, at that moment, the energy of this person and what felt right in the moment felt really good. And it was, you know, exciting and pleasurable and consensual. And so, but I guess, it's about finding the right person. Like and who knows? Like maybe I would be with women again and that, you know, that could happen. I could dabble. I think the cons can be if you have a hard time trusting your partner or trusting yourself or feeling confident during sex. And if you're in a relationship with somebody and you've talked about it and you consented and you both think it's going to be hot, but then you get in it and, you know, maybe it's just really hard for you to see your partner with someone else or it's hard for them to see you. It can just be fraught. Mm. A lot of couples can have really, you know, a hard time with it. Or when someone's coerced or pressured into being one just to please a partner, you should never do that. Do not be in a threesome because your partner said, we should have a threesome and you think it's like a nice thing to do to please them. When you're both not a hell yes, you shouldn't have a threesome.
I haven't seen a question like this, I have to tell you, since, I don't know, college or whatever. But how many guys have you been with, body count?
God, I do not believe in the body count question.
Yeah.
I think that question is so harmful because we can't help but judge people by that number. Mm-hmm. You've had, especially for women, you've had too much, you're a slut.
Exactly.
Not enough, you're not experienced enough. And if someone asks you that question, you're allowed to say, you know what? I'm just focusing on the sex that we're having right now. Mm-hmm. And that's really what's important to me. Mm-hmm. Like just cut off the conversation. You do not have to tell anybody. It doesn't really mean anything because to be honest, a lot of people are having the kind of sex that I explained that I was having, like just hitting it and quitting it or faking it or just get it over with. Or I mean, I wouldn't even say that if you've had sex with 500 people, it literally means nothing. It probably means that you haven't been really in your body and had a lot of great sex, but you've just been, you know, maybe a little buzzed or maybe just going out and just getting up your numbers because it's a quick fix that it feels good. You could get a big shot of dopamine. You get that adrenaline of something new and then you move to the next. Because to me, that's kind of like, it's like you're, you know, sport fucking or whatever. But I don't think that if you've had, you know, thousands of people, oh God, I'm telling you, how many people you've slept with does not equate to how good of a lover you are.
So. Yeah, I'm with you. Okay. So you're not going to answer the question?
No.
Okay.
And I wouldn't know.
Just kidding. So the answer is?
I have no idea. But if we've had sex, you can email into the show and then we can count.
Yeah.
We have to get an intern
on that. All of Emily's sexual encounters right in so we know what the count is. Are you afraid of telling your partner they aren't doing what you enjoy?
No, not at all. You have to do it right. Like, you don't be like, that's terrible, that move you just did in the bedroom. No, but you have to be like, you know, the compliment sandwich. This is what I really liked about what you're doing. I'm not so much loving when you don't warm me up, or you just want to get right to the sex and I'm not feeling turned on and aroused, because it's a really important part of my arousal. And I know if I feel more aroused, you'll feel better. So let's just slow everything down. Mm-hmm. So I know how to talk to it in a way that it feels good, because I actually believe that. I think our partners really want to be the best lovers they can be, and they're doing the very best they can. They're not sitting there going, I'm really going to this movie that's going to piss her off, says no lover ever. Mm-hmm. So I think if we can kindly and gently guide them and give them feedback, they're going to want to know. And the reason why we don't often do that is because we're so afraid we're going to hurt their feelings. But first off, you're not getting what you want. And once they get over the pet that you love them and you're not trying to hurt them, they'll actually be able to hear you and course correct.
You know, we always joke that we're recovering people pleasers. Does that recovering people pleaser in you like have problems with that? Like,
yeah, sometimes yeah. I have a hard time. It's funny. With sex, I don't have a hard time giving feedback, but with other things, I think recovering people pleaser means that it's always going to be a conscious choice and a conscious effort to not please. Yeah, I know that it's harder in other areas to not be so worried about what my partner thinks and to give straightforward feedback, but I work on it.
Yeah, to hurt feelings.
You got to make time for it. Yeah, you don't want to hurt feelings. You don't want to offend them, you know, and I think when you're a people pleaser also, you're so afraid that people aren't going to like you and that you're actually sort of manipulating their view of you. So it's actually not authentic at all. So it really is a service to learn to be clear, set boundaries. But it's, you know, a shock to the system when you haven't been living that way.
Yeah. It's hard, but
like so hard. But it's the work.
But it's so worth it.
So the work.
Because then you feel like you're in alignment with yourself, mm-hmm. right? Like when you're really living
yes,
that way.
You're in alignment, exactly. It's a service to us and yeah. those around us.
And then everybody else, right?
It's yeah.
Like, again, the oxygen.
People like when you set boundaries. People respond to it. They're like, oh, great. I didn't know what we were doing here either, but that's great. Tell me what to do.
I think people like when you tell them, like when you're direct, that no one likes to play a guessing game, right? Like no one wants to guess, like, is she mad at me? Does she like this? What's going on? Like, I think that we underestimate what people like actually want. They just want direct feedback sometimes, or direct like, hey, you know what? Just let me know. Oh, you're busy? Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Let's find yes. another day, versus like skirting, mm-hmm. because then they can feel the skirting energy, you know?
Yeah. People can feel it, all of it. You just gotta name it.
How old were you when you took control of your orgasms?
Oh my gosh. I was 25 when I took control of my own orgasm and realized that it was okay that I didn't always orgasm during penetration, but I had to figure out, and I did figure out with my hands and with toys to figure out what felt good. So I was about 25, but it was a process. I want people to know it's not like you just one day figure it out. This is how I do it. And then it's always like that from ever on. It's different positions, different times of day, different times a month. There's just always a lot to figure out. But I would say I started taking seriously when I was 25, and then really much more in my 30s. That was like my full-time job.
I love that. Your full-time job was taking control of your orgasm.
Yeah. Because if everyone took more control of their own orgasms, when we feed ourselves, when you put your oxygen mask on first, when you give yourself an orgasm, it is literally feeding and nourishing you. So you are filled up, and then you can give to others. You don't have to give them all orgasms, but it's love and mm-hmm. connection.
How do you feel about anal sex?
I feel that anal sex is very misunderstood. A lot of people have a bad first time experience. They feel pressured. If you're a woman and you have a partner, you know, a male partner who wants to do it, it can be painful. So I think there's a lot of like, we don't really know how to set up anal sex for success for many people. So, you know, that's another process, using lots of lube, going slow, all the things I share about in my hundreds of anal episodes, which you can check out. But for me personally, it's been a process, but I enjoy it sometimes.
Okay.
I do. Yeah. It's a good time.
Did you? So you say it. I was going to say, is it something you enjoyed right away? Like,
no.
Was it like bam?
No,
and you're like,
I think
that
I had.
Good.
No. I think it's important to get to know that. Like, you want to start with a finger or maybe a toy and build up to it and see, do I actually like the sensation? I think the way that women are indoctrinated into anal sex right now does not serve the woman, because there's a lot of sensitive nerve endings in our anus around the sphincter muscles that when you go slow, you use lube, you breathe into it and you allow it to open to the sensation slowly with like a loving partner or connected partner, a trustworthy partner, you can really start to feel that there's just a whole lot going on with these erogenous zones, and there's a lot to unpack, a lot to unfold. And so if you learn how to do it in a way that works for you, works for me, it can be very pleasurable. I didn't go from zero to anal.
Okay. I know. I think my visual was a little. I was like, when you jammed into it, did it feel good? Like,
no, that did not feel good when that happened to me.
Yeah,
that was not good.
I don't even know if it happened to you, but that's how I imagine.
It happens to a lot of people, a lot of women especially. Like,
it's like, oh, accidentally,
wrong hopes, wrong hole.
Like, I can't stand it.
Yeah, right? I don't think that a lot of partners are trying to do that, but that does happen, and it can be really terrifying and traumatizing because you're not warmed up. There's no lube. Like, anal sex without lube is like.
It's also like a permission thing too,
yes,
right?
I'm consent.
Like, I don't want that.
Yeah, yeah. Like, don't. You got to have heavy consent.
Do you orgasm when you have penetration, or do you need another stimulation to have an orgasm?
I need a lot of warm-up and stimulation to have an orgasm during penetration. But if I have an orgasm during, like, beforehand, I can have an orgasm during penetration. Like, if I've already warmed up.
So, like, on this, if this is your vagina.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to pull it out? It is my vagina.
Hold on. I'm touching my vagina. Okay, here's
your. This is my second vagina. This is my puppet.
Okay.
So I will need a lot of stimulation, maybe oral sex, mm-hmm. like opening up like the labia. And these mm-hmm. are all, remember, the clitoris is here, but it has nerve endings that go deep behind the labia. Mm-hmm. And so if I'm adequately stimulated and aroused and can have an orgasm this way, mm-hmm. then all of the pelvic floor muscles and the muscles responsible for orgasm are like charge and energize, and so I can keep it flowing, that when I then have penetrative sex, it's like the orgasm has already come out, one of them, maybe, or it's building, and then during penetration I can have an orgasm. Is that helpful? I
always love it when you pull out your second vagina.
I'll be right back, but real quick, let me tell you about Lalo's Dot Travel Vibrator. Now, you might have heard of their Dot. It is a really popular toy. It's a pinpoint vibe that directly stimulates your clitoris. Well, now there is a travel version, which is perfect for just stashing away in your bag, purse, or suitcase, just in case you need it. You never know where you're going to need a little stimulation. But let me tell you why I love the Dot. This toy is super special because of that pinpoint tip. The vibrations go only where you need them for instant pleasure. Now think about it. You know the clitoris has 12,000 nerve endings. It's really hard for one vibe to sort of pinpoint all those places, and so you literally can move this vibrator to all of those places where you feel stimulation. And it's for people who have maybe some numbing or some pain or some sensitivity, this vibe will help you sort of open up pleasure centers that you didn't know you have. So it has settings that are light as a feather or rumbly, super rumbly, that just make you feel amazing. You get to choose. I just love the pinpoint Dot for travel now, for exploration, exploring all those erogenous zones that you don't know you have, because you do have them. So pick yours up today at lalo.com and be sure to use my code SEXWITHEMILY for 25% off on all other products. That's lelo.com. Use code SEXWITHEMILY for 25% off on all other products. There's nothing quite like sinking your teeth into a good sandwich. But listen, carb guilt is real. I'm someone who's very invested in my health, and I like to get my carbs from oats and beans and fruits and not bread. But I love bread. So here's my hack. Thanks to Hero Bread, you can enjoy your favorite bready delights without the carb consequences. Hero Bread has turned those carby, empty calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious breads that boast 0 to 1 net carbs per serving, 0 grams of sugar, and are packed with loads of fiber and protein. The first time I tried their white bread, I was skeptical. Could it really taste good with such impressive nutritional stats? Well, I am pleasantly surprised to say it absolutely does. The texture is just phenomenal. It's like this soft, airy, and it just toasts up like a dream. I've whipped up everything from grilled cheese to PB&J and even made enchiladas, wraps, and tacos with their tortillas. Each time, Hero Bread has been a game changer. And here's the kicker. Despite its light texture and great taste, Hero Bread fits perfectly into my health goals. It's been adding more fiber to my diet while keeping the sugar at bay. Whether I'm packing a picnic lunch, planning a road trip snack, which I often do, or prepping French toast for breakfast, Hero Bread is my go-to. So whether you're craving a classic sandwich, a burger, or a hearty bun, or even indulging in a low-net carb croissant, Hero Bread is something for everyone. And I highly recommend checking their monthly small batch drops out so you can try goodies like the 1 gram net carb Hero Cheddar Biscuit and so much more. You won't believe what they have. So you ready to kick carb guilt to the curb? Head over to hero.co and snag 10% off your order with the code Emily. That's Emily at hero.co.
Have you had public sex before?
I have.
And?
I've dabbled. It's fun. I mean, it's illegal. Don't try it at home. Yeah, I've had public sex in parks, like with blankets. I've had public sex on a gondola once. I had public sex. Yeah, different places. Fun places. At a party once.
Bathroom.
Yeah.
In the Mile kitchen. High Club?
No. Because you know why?
Yeah, Tom.
Mile High Club is more about checking it off the list. But it's really hard to have mutually pleasurable sex on an airplane
without
in that tiny gross bathroom. I mean, yes, you could jack each other off. You could do mutual masturbation on an airplane. Mm. I've done that.
Okay.
Is that Mile High Club?
No.
Probably.
Just kidding.
I don't think I've done it until completion myself. Oh, maybe I have used a vibrator on an airplane. I think I have. It was an overnight flight.
Dang. Love that.
Yeah.
Okay. That should be its own club.
I know, right?
The Mile High Vibrator.
The Vibe Club? The Mile Vibe Club?
The masturbation. The Mile High Masturbation.
It's a long flight. Helps.
No, but that makes a lot more sense than having sex in the dirty bathroom.
No.
That bathroom is so tiny.
I don't want to go to the bathroom in the dirty bathroom. I'm going to go sex in the bathroom.
No. I barely want to touch anything in there.
But like I haven't sex in public. I'm trying to think, camping. Sure. A Coachella once outside backstage years ago. Like 20 years ago.
Oh, I thought you were going to say like 2 years ago.
No, a long time ago. Yeah, it's fun.
Other countries?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I used to,
Feels
Southeast
more
Asia.
Freeing. Right?
It is free. I love sex abroad. I love traveling. I traveled a lot in my 20s by myself. And so I really, really enjoyed the process of meeting different lovers in different cities and states. And I'm going to Bangkok. You want to come to Bangkok? Go. We're going to go to Bali. And we're going to go, I just traveled around the world for like 9 months teaching and having sex.
As one does. So I asked you about whether talking about sex ever gets boring, but does sex ever get dull for you?
Oh, yeah. Just like everyone else, sex gets boring after a while. And it does. And so
sex gets boring or sex with one person gets boring?
Sex with one person can get boring for sure. I think that that's really common. And that was one of my drivers for getting into this profession was like, I never want to be in that relationship where sex gets boring. But guess what? If you're with the same person over and over and over again every day of your life, it's going to get a little rote. And so that's okay too. That's so normal. And then you just go, hey, why don't we try something new? Why don't we go on vacation? Why don't we try a new toy? Why don't we, let's go to my yes, no, maybe list and see what else is on there that we haven't tried.
What's the yes, no, maybe list?
Oh my God, really?
Yeah, what?
Oh, my God. It's on our website. It's our most popular downloadable guide. It's a list of 100 sex acts. Kissing, is it a yes, it is a no, is it a maybe? Spanking, is it a yes, a no, or maybe? Anal play, yes, no, maybe. You and your partner, I'll give it to you tonight to take home. You and your partner each take it, and then you compare lists. Do you have yeses on there? Oh, I didn't know you wanted me to spank you. I want to be spanked.
It's
a great conversation starter. It's a free guide on our site that you can download. We will link to that in the show notes. And it's a really great place for couples. So it's a friend of mine just the other night with her new partner. She's like, oh my God, all weekend long we were playing with the different topics because, a lot of times we do get stuck. We get in a rut and we don't know what to do to get out of it. We literally do not know what to do to do it differently. And it's just the act of building the yes together and seeing where you're aligned and then planning and anticipation of trying something new is a lot of times what we need. We are craving that something new.
I'm with you. Lists are aspirational. I mean, we're always making lists. Like, where can we travel to? Where can we do this? What can we do? You know what I mean?
Which gives you the rush.
Yeah. It gives you dreams. You dream. So,
dreams.
All
right. Yeah.
Excited. So, what's on your?
My yes, no, maybe list or my aspiration list? I don't know. I don't, honestly, most of them are yeses and there's probably more to do. I mean, I think I've probably done most of them, but I probably need to. That's a good way to revisit it. I should do that one.
Yeah.
I should do this
weekend.
Should
all do it. Should you and I do one together?
Yeah, exactly. I can help your husband talk him through with you. But the thing about the yes, no, maybe is what I worry sometimes is, not worry, but people do it and they fucking love it. And then they're like, now what? And so I want to do another guide would you guys want this? A follow-up guide to the yes, no, maybe guide that would actually be a yes, no, maybe, let's go. And how to actually implement it.
Oh,
because
like
sometimes
execution list.
Execution.
I like that. Because you're right. You can get stuck on a list too. You can be like, okay, hit yes. Now what do I do?
Yeah, yeah. Couples like love it and they talk about it for weeks, but they're like, oh, but we never actually did it because we didn't really know how to get what kind of pegging set to get or what kind of toy to get for this fantasy to be fulfilled.
Oh, I like this one. Sex and insecurities.
Because
I feel like a lot of your listeners, like, and they feel comfortable talking to you about it.
Yeah,
you know,
they do.
Which I really, I think that's really awesome.
Oh my God, I love it. That's why I'm here, to help people move through their insecurities.
You're so good at that too, by the way. Everyone has had more of it. I can't compete with that sample size, jealousy, scared. Talk to us. These are like,
oh, what are my insecurities?
Yeah. And how do you move through them, you know?
I guess sometimes I have insecurities that I don't initiate sex enough. It's a skill set. You have to learn also how to initiate, because if you're used to being someone initiating, that, which is great, that can get really old after a while when one person is always – I'm usually down. I'm like, let's go. Mm-hmm. But I'm not like, let's do it, because my arousal is more based on – responsive. So I respond to something happening, like my partner does something or makes a bid for sex, or I'm like, okay, I'm in, but I'm not thinking about it. I've never been that person who was super, I'm thinking about sex all the time. And I think that we're born in certain ways with our, where our hormones are and all that. So I always have to be like, oh yeah, that's a great idea. So then I have to think, okay, my partner's brought it up. I'm going to, and then I worry, like, I didn't do it enough.
Is that your personality though, in general?
Yeah. So people follow up with me for everything.
Yeah.
Like people, I'm like, if you want me to do something, you got to follow up with me. I want to do it. Just email me and then email my assistant. Maybe I should email my assistant Ben and have him put it in my calendar.
Yeah, I mean, that, I think that would help. I will say that that is a thing that comes up where I will hear, I don't know why you resist it. Because once you're doing it, you like love it. Yeah. Right. And so then I'm always like, yeah, I don't know why I resist it.
Yeah. Maybe because your body feels a little shut down and tired at the moment.
I'm like, oh, sleep sounds so good.
Yeah, exactly. Because sleep always sounds so good. Well, I think the other thing I've had to realize is, like, I've also had to set boundaries with my partner. Like, it's never going to happen on, like, a Tuesday night past 10:30 or a Monday. Like, if I'm in bed, I'm tired, I really – my sleep is so – I think everyone's sleep. If you really start to prioritize it, it is the most important thing. If I get less than seven and a half hours – a night, I'm good to nobody.
Don't come around me.
Don't come around me no more like that. So then I can say, don't come around if I'm tired. And so I think I'd say, but maybe we could, you know, this weekend we'll have more. That's why the scheduling sex thing, and when I say scheduling sex, it doesn't mean like send me a cal invite. It could just mean like this weekend we're both going to be around. Like we have so much time, we can sleep in, we can do what we want. And maybe that's just better than like, oh my God, we're brushing our teeth. Now we're going to have sex. Because also you have to remember, if you're with a man, it helps them sleep. It helps them reduce their stress. It's a release. They go to bed. It's easy for them. It's a sure thing. But for women, it's like an opening. It's a receiving. It's a, we got to get warmed up. Where's the lube? Where's the toilet? Like my brain wasn't there. I was still thinking about the kids and the work. And it's like, it's a much bigger process than your partner walks out and is like, you're hot. I have an erection. Let's go. So the way that we become turned on, the way that we want to have sex, it's one of the biggest differences between men and women. I don't think there are as many as we once thought, but I think the way that we prepare for sex and get aroused for sex is very different and can cause a lot of the problems in relationships.
What is something that people don't know about you? You know,
that's
what I mean?
A good question.
People probably don't know how much you giggle and laugh, and like you enjoy laughing and you find things funny and that you're funny.
Yeah,
you're fun.
I'm fun. I love to laugh. It's like my favorite thing is to laugh and being around like really interesting, smart, funny people that just are, you know, make me laugh and seeing funny things. I mean, laughter is also healing. Laughter is medicine.
It is. Okay, so if you weren't sex with Emily.
Yeah.
And if you weren't sex and Emily, what would you be?
I think I would still be a seeker and be on a path of guidance and teaching and learning. I think not because I feel this, because I have a skill set in this way that I've worked on, but I would love to be more into like food and cooking and making homes beautiful and that whole like domesticity. I don't have that gene, but I think if I had time, I would love to lean into that more, because I think it is a really great creative expression to be able to create a space for people to feel good and to gather. Like if I didn't have to, if I wasn't working as much, I would probably make a home. And it's getting there, that just is comfortable and inviting and grounding and warm.
I mean, your home is beautiful. But I get it. It's that you, I think, want the time to like host and the details.
Because you're like, give back and have people over and entertain and bring together my people. But that's coming.
Where are you right now?
Oh, come on. Where am I right now?
You've been wanting to say this, so that's why I'm giving you the opening.
No, I don't know what to say.
I think what you want to say is that, like, you are, because you've told me this on the phone, that, and this is why I feel like you wanted to do this, is that you want to share
about my sex life, though. But
yeah, but you want to share with your listeners where you are at in your life and how you want to, like expand this brand to really continue to like grow authentically?
Yeah, I wanted it because it started so long ago. It started 20 years ago, and where I was then and where I'm now are very different places. And there's a certain level of, I don't know, like authenticity and realness about where I am right now and who I am, which is different than where I was. And I think we can start to explore that. I think it's just evolving. I'm heading into the 20th year of Sex with Emily, and we're going to be reimagining the show, relaunching the show.
Where are you at for marriage these days?
You know, marriage was never – it's not as interesting to me. I believe in having a committed relationship where you have great boundaries and you talk about things and you know where you both stand and how you feel and what your long-term plans are and all the things. But marriage was never something that has spoke to me and was never a aspiration really. So I think where I'm at is where I'm at right now.
Do you think that has to do with kids?
A lot of people get married for kids. Mm-hmm. And I know that kids was never a priority for me either. So getting married without having kids, I'm not really sure why that's necessary. Mm-hmm. I don't think that we necessarily need that. But of course, I support everyone else who decides to get married. That was just never something that seemed to fit into my lifestyle.
Yeah, you weren't that person at 25 that was like, I want to make sure that I get married by this age.
I never had that. That's the only reason, though, I felt that I was broken because I was off or something was wrong with me because most people that I knew were like, of course I'm getting married. Of course I have kids. I'm like, how do you know that? How do you know zero doubt that what if you don't want that? Like, we get to like work and we get to be out in the world and it's a different time than our parents' generation. How do you know? Like, it's always like, I'm leaving that open. I'm going to see how I feel. And I actually never, you know, never veered from it though. But I was open. I was like, oh, maybe I'll meet someone and I'll be like, oh, of course we should reproduce and have a child. This makes so much sense. But, you know, that was just, I have other desires, ways I want to live my life. I love my friends. I love my dogs. I love spontaneity. I love travel. I love being able to have, you know, freedom and being able to create wherever I go and meet people. It's just, who knows though? Like, who knows what could happen? But that's where I am now.
A lot of people I know who like had it planned out, they did that. They stuck to their plan. And I think what I learned too through the years is like, I used to be a planner, and the more I flow, the more I get to experience. Yeah. So I get it.
It's like, good to be in flow. You know? Yeah. Planning's always been a little bit harder for me. But like, I always end up doing things, but I just want to kind of, cause I'm such a feeler. So I kind of feel where things are at and then go towards it. Cause I trust my, you know, try to trust my intuition, my gut about what feels right. And sometimes you don't know what it is ahead of time.
It's serving you though. I mean, it's super serving you.
Yeah, so. Thriving.
Thriving.
Thank you.
Emily, this is your podcast, but I, along with so many, want to know about your sex life. So thank you for sharing all of your intimate details with us today.
That's it for today's episode. See you on Friday. Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. Be sure to like, subscribe, and give us a review wherever you listen to the podcast and share this with a friend or partner. You can find me on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Sex with Emily. Oh, I've been told I give really good email. So sign up at sexwithemily.com. And while you're there, check out my free guides and articles for more ways to prioritize your pleasure. If you'd like to ask me about your sex life, dating, or relationships, call my hotline, 559-TALK-SEX. That's 559-825-5739. Or go to sexwithemily.com/askemily. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com.